Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. Please enjoy the following message.
Really, really excited to hear what this man of God has to say. He is our senior pastor from our Every Nation South Auckland Church. He's doing a great job there. If you're ever in South Auckland, please do go and visit our South Auckland Church. They're doing great work. He and his wife, who happen to be my sister and my brother-in-law, who happen to be on holiday, but I say, you're not on holiday coming here. You're going to come and preach, come and speak to us and encourage us with a revelation that you've had. They just spent the last week in Bali, so I believe that there's written revelation from heaven during while he was out there on the surf. He got injured, but he's still willing to preach the gospel. Just excuse the scar on his head. He's not related to Mikhail Gorbachev. It's just that he's, you know, surfing the waves for Jesus, getting that revelation to pour it out for you today. Please give it up. Stand to your feet. Give a round of applause for our brother, our pastor from South Auckland, Taulu Schuster.
Oh, what an intro. Wow. Yeah, okay, I better show you my scar. There, can you see it? Nah, I'm all right. It happened on the first day I was surfing, so that was my revelation. I had a great time. Thank you. Let me just set myself up here. Well, what a great way to start the service today. I literally, during the Amazing Grace song, that always gets me. And even when we just started singing, I just broke, you know, because it just reminds me of my life and, you know, how much of a wreck I was. And I'm still a wreck. That's a thing. But that song always gets me, you know, Amazing Grace. You know, I can't do it without him, without Christ. And, you know, that's why I'm here today. And I'm so grateful. Thank you, you know, to the church here in Brisbane. I think I might have been here about 2-3 years ago when we were at the old place, Becca. And I think there's still a few, you know, there's faces here I remember from back then. So it's actually great to be here today and just seeing what God's doing here in Brisbane. And I'm excited to see what's going to happen in the year to come as well. Worship, wasn't worship great? Man, who's it? Alex, man, you're the man on the bass, bro. Honestly, that was, man, I loved the worship today. And, you know, I think some of you may have met my wife and my kids. Probably about 3 weeks ago she was here. She was speaking, Weens, and my two boys, Maya and Joey. And, man, they're the best. They keep me alive, keep me fresh. And I love life with my family. And, you know, Joey is, like, he's out there. He's so creative and he's so crazy. He's always happy, you know. You never see him really sad anytime. And Maya always reminds me of Nelly, you know. He's full of life, you know, so influential as a young kid. And so, you know, our family, man, we have great times together. And we've been pastoring our church for 2 years now in South Auckland. And so this is our first holiday that we just got away, and we've been blessed. We're the same. We only have three on staff, myself, my wife, and Luti, and my two boys. They come with us everywhere we go. And, you know, we're just really blessed to, you know, have a break. And I want to encourage you guys, make sure, no matter where you work, make sure you get a break, have a holiday, you know, and get some time with God, just like we did on the beach and on the surf. And, no. And, you know, like I said, blessed to be here. And I remember the last time I was actually in Australia was probably about a month ago in Sydney. And we were there for the cluster. It was a cluster meeting with all the pastors. Pastor Nelly was there. Rasheen was there as well. And I was there actually a weekend before the cluster. And I had the privilege of being part of the worship team in one of our churches in Sydney. I think a couple of weeks ago you had Sam and Nancy Webb here, and so they were in Sydney at that time as well. And I was within the worship team, But see, to be honest, I haven't been leading worship for since we pretty much started looking after church and that journey. And leading worship at the Sydney service, man, I was like, wow, man, thank you, Lord, just for this opportunity, this honor to worship you in this way. And I remember when I went to practice the Saturday before the Sunday service, had practice with the team there, and then I jumped back on my train. I was catching a train back to where I was staying, and I remember God just reminded me of this time in my early years of being part of the praise and worship team, and I was playing keys, and Pastor Nelly was our worship pastor. He was our worship. He was everything, pretty much doing everything back then, like he's doing now. And I remember we went on a camp out up north, and during that time we were given a bit of a break to just go out and sit and study. And when I went out and studied, I was sitting at this playground, and you know, I remember this one time God reminded me back then, and the question was, do I feel and sense God's presence when there's no music around me? Now, I love my music. I love playing my keys. I the certain genres that I enjoy playing. And, you know, I had everything in that. You know, my worship was based around my music. My Christianity was based around my music. And I didn't know that at that time until I was asked that question sitting at this park. And, you know, I'm one, at that time, when I'm facing a trial or a difficult time, you know, I used to turn on my Christian music and sing, you know, just sing my lungs out. And so I can sense God's presence, or, you know, not. And there's a difference from actually hearing Him if I had no music, you know, for what I mean. And so the same thing, isn't it interesting that when we come to church on a Sunday, the usual routine is what? Praise and worship, and then the Word. And the whole emphasis is to have music in the beginning to create a type of presence or this type of atmosphere for all of us to somehow feel and just sense the presence of God. I surely did today. And just to prepare the way for the Word. And no matter where you go in the world, you're bound to walk into a Christian church that pretty much follow that structure. Not only that, with these two main parts, you know, on a Sunday service, half of the service is music. And sometimes it can be longer than the Word. And 3 weeks ago, if you were here, my wife, Rowena, she talked about worshiping God in times of weakness. And it was based around the Psalm 63. And the particular song was written, that psalm was written while David was on the run from King Saul. And he was, King Saul was trying to kill him at the time. And today's message, more than a song, but the title is In Time of Injustice. In Times of Injustice. You know, every psalm, In the Bible, every psalm has a background, and these songs created out of pretty much a personal experience. You know, majority of the songs from the book of Psalms, they come from a lot of different situations and events in David's life. And today we'll be referring to Psalm 7 here. And the story behind why this song, this particular psalm, was written. And so let's start with these verses from verse 6 and 9. And it says this. It says, "Arise, Lord, in your anger. Rise up against the rage of my enemies. Awake, my God, decree justice. Let the assembled peoples gather around you while you sit enthroned over them on high. Let the Lord judge the peoples, vindicate me, Lord, according to my righteousness, according to my integrity, O mighty God, O most high. Bring to an end the violence of the wicked and make the righteous secure. You, the righteous God who probes minds and hearts." Now, if you read the verses before these particular verses I just read. You know, David, he starts the song, the Psalm 7, first off with a plea. He starts off with a plea to God to save him, right, from his enemies. Then by these verses just read, David is asking God now to deliver him by righteously, you know, administrating justice on his enemies. Then the next part in the verses after these ones, after verse 9, David ends the song by giving praise to God for his righteousness. So in a nutshell, David's song about his enemies in Psalm 7 is pretty much, God save me, God kill them, and you're the man. I wonder how well that song would go if it came out in today's music charts. Now, have you ever felt injustice over something? Have you ever experienced being treated unfairly? Before, you know, most of us, most of the time, we sympathize and side with people, you know, who are oppressed or mistreated, right? Before coming on full-time staff with church two, three years ago, I used to work in the education sector, and I loved my job. You know, I worked with youth at risk and would oversee a couple of different sites in Auckland. And at that time, there came a time I was pretty much, you know, management changed. And during the management, as they changed, I really felt they were forcing me out of my position. Even when I left, I didn't really leave on good terms with them. And I wanted to get justice for what they did for me, what they did to me. And I wanted to get even. I knew something needed to be done. Sometimes that's our perspective in life. We let the ideas of this world rule us in the area of finding justice. Now we want to get even all the time, and you know, we become emotion led rather than spirit led, and this is how we in the world expect it to be. The natural reaction is what, to retaliate and to take matters into our own hands. Now when we look at David's life, it's not that way. Throughout his life, even towards the end of his life, David was a man who he didn't take justice into his own hands. If you remember those who were here when Wayne spoke 3 weeks ago, David was on the run, right? And he was in the wilderness and he was running from King Saul. And Saul, you know, Saul had become jealous of David because David was more popular than him, you know, with the people. You know, through the success in his, pretty much in all his military campaigns. And so Saul, he wanted to kill David because David was a threat to his throne. Another part of that story, while David was on the run, is David, he finds this cave to hide in and pretty much makes this cave his home. And while hiding and living in this cave, Other men actually join him along the journey of hiding away, and they join him to hide in the cave from Saul. That's crazy. You know, there's one particular part of David's cave hiding where he has a chance of actually killing Saul. Remember now, David and all these men, right, that are hiding, they're all hiding because Saul is trying to hunt David down to kill him. And let me paraphrase the time when David and his men are hiding, and it's taken from 1 Samuel 24. And pretty much in the story, Saul gets news, right, that David and his men are hiding in the wilderness in this place called Engedi. And so Saul, he takes 3,000 men with him to hunt David down. And it's funny here because while he's on the hunt, they all stop to rest. And they all stop to rest because, you know, it says in the Bible that Saul went alone into a nearby cave to relieve himself. He went to the toilet. So you got 3,000 men waiting for this guy to go in the toilet. That's a bit awkward. You know what Saul didn't know? And, you know, with all of the 3,000 men waiting outside for him, is David and his men were hiding in that same cave. Even more awkward. You know, David's men, now they're all hiding, right? And David's men are now thinking, man, this was the day. This is the day to avenge all the hassles, you know, of having to hide in caves. I'm tired of it. You know? And man, we're running from the army day after day. And I like how David's men say to him in verse 4 of this chapter, and it says, the men said, this is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, I will give you your enemy into your hands for you to deal with you as you wish. This was the opportune, this was the right time to kill Saul. And so David, he sneaks up, right? He sneaks up behind Saul while he's going to the toilet. And instead of like going up and breaking his neck like a ninja or something, you know, David, he just cuts off a portion of Saul's robe. And then he sneaks back to his men. And look what he says to them here in verse 6. He says, the Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lay my hand on him, for he is the anointed of the Lord. Even though King Saul is seeking and hunting to kill David, David spares his life. And David knew that it is the Lord who would defend and take refuge in his own time. So after going to the toilet, Saul, he comes out, you know, of the cave, totally unaware of what had happened. And this is what David does next in verse 8 of that same chapter, and says, then David went out of the cave and called out to Saul, my lord the king. When Saul looked behind him, David bowed down, prostrated himself with his face to the ground, and he said to Saul, why do you listen when men say David is bent on harming you? This day you have seen with your own eyes how the Lord delivered you into my hands in the cave. Some urged me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, I will not lay my hand on my Lord, because he is the Lord's anointed. See, my father, look at this piece of your robe in my hand. I cut off the corner of your robe, but did not kill you. See that there is nothing in my hand to indicate that I am guilty of wrongdoing or rebellion. To David's men, it seemed, like I said, favorable that Saul was at their mercy. David's men, they saw, you know, it was an opportunity for revenge. However, David saw it as an opportunity to show mercy and prove that his heart was right. What made David decide, I won't kill Saul, instead I'll just cut this corner of his robe? You know, he knew that God promised that he'd inherit the throne of Israel. He knew that Saul was in the way of that promise. But he also knew it was disobedient to him, you know, to kill Saul, because God put Saul in a position of authority, and it was God's job to take care of Saul, not David's. And David wanted the promise to be, you know, to be fulfilled, but he refused to try and fulfill God's promise through his own disobedience. There'll be times when people will mistreat and speak bad words about you, and we can learn how to handle these situations by following the examples of David. And I know it's easier said than done. So let me give you 3 points in relation to this background story, okay? And from the Psalm 7. And the first point here is God will protect his people. Psalm 7, verse 1, it says, O Lord my God, in you I have taken refuge. Save me from all those who pursue me and deliver me. You know, David, he knew the Lord you know, as his own God. It was a personal thing for him. And the Lord, our God, is a refuge who saves us, you know, from our foes. So we can run to him for safety, and we can come to God for protection, you know, believing that he'll deliver us from those who oppress, harass, intimidate, bully, and mistreat us. So, you know, remember earlier I said that our natural reaction is to retaliate and, you know, take matters into our own hands anytime we suffer injustice or being mistreated. I naturally gravitate to that attitude because I want to prove that I'm right. Yet, this verse tells us to take refuge. Refuge, why in the world would I want to take that? You know, refuge means to flee from protection. And I'm usually not one to run. And by looking around in this room, I don't think you would do the same either. When people say bad or false things about you, you need to first realize where your help is coming from. You know, our Lord God, the God of the universe, our Savior, is the one to who we run to. You know, when we face false accusations, we have to take that burden to God, release it to him in prayer. And David remembered how the Lord, you know, continuously fought for him and protected him. How? Because of his knowledge of who God is in his life. You know, David had a revelation that it's God who fights for him. Remember, he killed lions, he killed bears, he killed Goliath. He won battles with the Philistines. And it's God who protects him from all danger. That's why he can be calm and secure even in the midst of troubles and persecution. Point number two, God will vindicate his people. Psalm 7 verse 8. We've already read that. Let me read that again. Let the Lord judge the peoples. Vindicate me, Lord, according to my righteousness, according to my integrity, O Most High. Bring to an end the violence of the wicked and make the righteous secure. You, the righteous God who probes minds and hearts. You know, back in Auckland, I was skimming through some news online. And, you know, listen to some of these titles of some of these articles. So, uni student dead after row. Female politician killed by gang. A call to let peace smuggler teach. Woman who helped kill her mother-in-law has jail sentence reduced. Two men try to rip off Aucklanders. I think that happens a lot. You know, you probably jump online or your newspaper here in Brisbane and see some of these pretty interesting articles that what's happening out there as well. There's so many things in the newspaper that make us angry, you know, but it should guide us on how we should pray. It should guide us on how we should pray for our country, for New Zealand, for Australia, for Brisbane. Instead of grumbling and complaining, you know. After David had cut a piece of Saul's robe, and then he yells out to him, right, from among the cave, this is what he continues on saying, and it's from verse 12. And it says, 1 Samuel, verse 12, it says, Saul, may the Lord judge between you and me, and may the Lord avenge the wrongs you have done to me, but my hand will not touch you. May the Lord be our judge and decide between us. May he consider my cause and uphold it. May he vindicate me by delivering me from your hand. Man, David called on the Lord to be the judge and to avenge. And so he promised that, you know, he wouldn't do God's job of judging Saul or by avenging him for his evil deeds. You know, Romans 12, verse 17, this is what it says. It says, never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge, I will pay them back, says the Lord. Man, God is the one who establishes justice for his people. He will justify and he'll uphold us in times of injustice. Man, God is the real avenger. Now, I love this quote from Martin Luther King Jr., and it says, returning hate for hate multiplies hate, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. My final point here, point number three, is God's people will worship him. In Psalm 7 verse 17, it says, I will give to the Lord the thanks due to his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord, the Most High. This final verse here, where David ends the psalm, which, you know, remember the Psalm 7, it began with gloom, it started with gloom, and then it ends on high, in a high note of praise. David could praise God because he brought his cause to God, believing, you know, that the Lord will decide, he'll defend and deliver him. Man, the words Most High in Hebrew, El Elyon, the meaning is the strongest strong one. I love that, eh? The strongest strong one. The Most High God, you know, describes the superior and sovereign authority as the independent and supreme ruler of this universe. Because of the God Most High is our vindicator, he's worthy to receive thanks. He's worthy to receive our praise and worship from us, his people. So it doesn't matter when you get your vindication or not. We praise the Lord because he does what is right. We give thanks to God because he is able to work righteousness and justice on our behalf. We worship God because he's our shield who protects, because he is the righteous judge who vindicates us. He is the one who clears our name from blame. Worship, get this, worship is what we do while trusting God on what he will do. Now let's not give in to the temptation of taking justice in our own hands. Now let us trust God for our vindication and our reward and our promotion from him. Let us worship the Lord our God, knowing that he is able to vindicate us. Man, our God is just. He sees and he knows all things. He will fight for us. He will protect. He will defend. And he'll support us. So just as I finish, I want to finish by reminding us of today's message that God is our vindicator when we worship him in times of injustice. I'd like you to write this verse, if you're taking notes, these verses down as well, please. When you're going through times of injustice, I want you to remember God this way as our vindicator. And it's taken from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. This is God as our vindicator. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. And when he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Isn't that great? The end of the day, when we try to seek justice and we look to God, it's really not about us. It's not about you. It's not about me. Worship is not just about singing a song, or it's about being at a certain place like here. Worship is about full submission to him, giving him honor and glory, man, with all our hearts. You know, and like I said in the beginning, when I think of that song, Amazing Grace, this is what I think about what he did for me. And why I always say I'm still a wreck, because it reminds me that I still need him. I still need this amazing grace, because I can't do life without him. Let's pray. And so, Lord, we worship you not just, you know, with our singing. Lord, worship is about just full submission to you and giving you honor and glory with all our hearts, as I had just said. Lord, and we understand that how much we deeply know you will determine how much we will deeply worship you. And as we come to an end here tonight, show and teach us more, Lord, how we should worship you when we've been treated unjustly or treated unfairly. Teach us, Lord, to follow your steps and even learn from the example of David today. You know, and just at this time, just with your eyes closed, Father, I just pray that people in here, that whether they've gone through things or where they've been treated unjustly, I pray right now those certain things in the areas of their life, that they release forgiveness to those who have hurt them. But I pray, Lord, that they find refuge in you. And at the same time, Lord, that they trust you in their situation, that you are their vindicator. And so, God, we thank you for your grace, your amazing grace, which is your Son that died on the cross for us. And so we commit this time to you in the situations that we're walking through. We call onto your name right now. We thank you, God, in Jesus' name.
How many of you in this room tonight would find yourself in a situation, just as Pastor Taulu was talking about, where you're in need of just letting go of whatever it may be that's tried to hold you prisoner for far too long? You know, the image that I often get is where you're trying to hold somebody in the prison of your heart. Maybe there's been an offense, maybe there's been a wrongdoing towards yourself, and maybe you have every right because you have been wronged, but it hurts you. And still, like, in a moment like this, you wrestle with it because you still want control, only to see that the bars of which you have imprisoned that person or that group of people, the camera pans around 180 degrees, and comes to find that you're actually the one behind the bars. the whole time. You're the one that's been imprisoned. But when we sing of this amazing grace, it really is the key to seeing yourself walk out in the freedom that Christ has for you, out of the prison of your heart. I just sense there's many of us in this room that needed to hear that tonight from Pastor Taolu, just to know that vindication belongs to the Lord. And if anybody had the right to wipe all of humanity out, it was Christ at the cross. I mean, at any point in time, he could have been like, you know what, forget it. Why should I die for all of you? But he took upon himself the offenses of the world, and that includes you and I, that we no longer have to walk in that offense. So if that's you today, I'm going to pray. And I want to pray for those who would say, you know what, tonight I don't want to walk in this offense. I don't want to walk bound to these things. I want to worship God in this freedom that Christ has purchased for me. Galatians 5 verse 1 says, it is for freedom that you have been set free. So I want to pray for you tonight. Just if I can get everybody just to close their eyes so you're not aware of other people around you. This is between you and Christ. And if you can just search your heart right now in this moment of honesty, and if you find yourself imprisoning situations and people in your heart, I need to know that you're the one that's been imprisoned the whole time. Christ wants to set you free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, and he's here today. So I want to pray. And if that's you and no one else looking around, can you just lift your hands to the Lord and say, God, I just want to surrender this situation. Vindication is yours. Vengeance is yours. I release it right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you for that freedom. I'm free from offense, free from condemnation. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in you, Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you for that freedom tonight. But by your amazing grace, we are yours, no longer captives, for whom the sun sets free is free indeed. We thank you, Lord, for that freedom. Freedom to worship you, no longer offended, no longer trapped in the prison of condemnation and guilt and fear. Lord, offense is no longer in our vocabulary. We thank you, Lord, that by your grace, that offense will just wash over us like water on a duck's back, Lord God. And we thank you today for the power to shake it off. Shake off offense. Like the great theologian Taylor Swift said, hate is gonna hate, hate, hate. I'm gonna shake it off. Amen? Amen. Amen. This is gonna be that week. This is gonna be, some of you all got offended and religious on me. I can't believe the pastor just quoted Taylor Swift. Truth is truth. Truth is truth. And there are gonna, let me tell you something. If you are making advancement in the kingdom of God, you can guarantee there'll always be resistance. I.e., haters are gonna hate. That's the translation from the Nashville pop star version of the Bible. You can guarantee it. I mean, Jesus was so popular they put him on a cross. I mean, you want to talk about haters hating, he was on the cross. But he shook it off when he rolled the stone away on the third day. He didn't just shake it off his shoulders like Jay-Z. He shook the stone away. And you're free today. Come on, you're free today because haters gonna hate. But Jesus shook it off so that you no longer need to be bound in that offense any longer. Please don't get offended at me because you're religious tonight. It's a trip. No, we're not going to do that song tour. I know you. He's like, can we do it? Can we do it? But I just want to pray for you and bless you as we go. Father, we thank you, Lord, that as we walk from this place, Lord, we are blessed. We're blessed because we are free and you are with us. Father, we thank you that the Almighty God lives inside of us and takes us, Lord, in your presence. Father, we thank you that anywhere we walk, God, will be an offense-free zone. Lord, the vindication belongs to you, Lord God. I mean, your amazing grace has brought us to this point and will continue to bring us to the next point and the next point and the next point, Lord God. Father, just like Abraham, Lord, we understand that as we advance in obedience, obedience, that there will be those who curse us, they will be cursed. There will be those who bless us, and they will be blessed, Lord God. Haters are going to hate, but we'll shake it off in the power of Jesus. We thank you. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. Don't forget, if you want to volunteer, help us in volunteering and running this church, man, we'd love to hear from you. Please go visit the guest services table. But other than that, have a great week ahead. You're dismissed.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. Thank you for listening. God bless.